This story has everything. A dog that's called loving even after he eats a family kitten. Lawyers accusing the police of anti-Semitism. A high-speed chase to a ranch. An adult male convict being adopted by his attorneys. And a woman accused of causing her own death with perfume. This is the story of Diane Whipple, the San Francisco lacrosse coach who was mauled by an attack dog in her own building. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Today's case was recommended by KateBoyd9374, and I really appreciate it when you let me know about cases that I may not have heard of, so thank you, Kate. On January 26, 2001, Diane Whipple came home from the grocery store to her sixth-floor apartment. She was 33 years old and would turn 34 in 5 short days. She lived in San Francisco, just east of the Golden Gate Bridge area in the neighborhood of Pacific Heights. Diane was an East Coast girl from Long Island, tiny at only 5'3", but an athlete so talented that she almost went to the Olympics 5 years previously. She went All-American in soccer at Penn State and was nicknamed the Whip. She took a job as a lacrosse coach at St. Mary's College on the Oakland side of the bay and warmed the hearts of her players with her desk that happened to be full of candy. She also had just qualified for the Boston Marathon. Diane lived with her partner in Pack Heights in an apartment that shared a hallway with a human-sized dog. Truly, it was a 130-pound Presa Canario, a mastiff kind of breed from the Canary Islands of Spain that's big and muscular. It was originally developed as a guard dog and for dog fighting. The American Kennel Club calls the breed reserved, vigilant when it comes to protecting its owner, and not good with children nor other dogs. Some countries ban it from being bred. But we at Katie Does Crime are dog-friendly and withhold judgment against even those pups that face social stigma. Diane herself loved animals and grew up with dogs. The problem is that this dog that lived in Diane's building didn't exactly have a clean record. In December 2000, Diane came into the apartment and told her partner that the dog, Bane, had chomped at her wrist in the hallway. She happened to be wearing a bulky watch that took the brunt of the bite, but still, it freaked her out. She would peek out to make sure Bane wasn't in the hallway before she left because apparently his owners would let him run around on his own. This is something that happens in my hallway here in New York City, I suppose because owners want to let their dogs run in something more open than our 900-square-foot apartments. Diane would make sure the coast was clear of Bane before she went out, which isn't a great way to have to live in your own home. But that day in 2001, when Diane came home from the store, there was no door to gently crack an inch or two, just an open hallway that proved deadly that day when she was unable to get her apartment door unlocked quickly enough. She was attacked by a dog who weighed at least 20 pounds more than she did. Bane overpowered his owner and bolted down the hallway toward Diane. A neighbor called 911 when Diane began screaming for help, but it was much, much too late. Diane had been stripped nude by the dogs as they tore at her clothes. The carpet and walls were covered in blood. She had 77 bite marks and a punctured trachea by the time Bane was done with her. Diane somehow lived through this, tried to crawl back to her apartment, passed out, and was revived by paramedics before they took her to the hospital. She died there shortly after losing a third of her blood. Her larynx was crushed in the way a predatory animal would kill its victim out in the wild. Bane was immediately destroyed after the attack, although his brain was preserved for research. Even before this, other people who lived in the apartment building had called Bane the dog of death. One person bought pepper spray just in case, and others said they would find ways to avoid being around when 59-year-old Robert Noel and 45-year-old Marjorie Noller would take their dogs out on their walk. Because if you're going to have one dog you can't control, why not have two? There was a male, Bane, and a female, Hera. And in a weird little twist, they didn't actually belong to Robert and Marjorie. The two were lawyers, and the dogs belonged to one of their clients. He was a member of the Aryan Brotherhood prison gang, and he supposedly needed someone to care for the dogs while he served his life sentence for robbery, aggravated assault, and attempted murder. And I also have to tell you that his nickname was Cornfed. Yes, Cornfed. The woman who was originally watching the dogs, as an act of Christian charity, she said, would send photos to prison so Cornfed could use them as inspiration for the drawings he loved to do. But she couldn't handle it anymore when Bane and Hera kept attacking her farm animals and had even killed her daughter's kitten. She said the dogs couldn't be tamed and had no socially redeeming value, so she shipped them off to Cornfed's lawyers. And because, of course, this gets weirder, as the police looked into the attack on Diane in her apartment building hallway, they discovered that these lawyers, Robert and Marjorie, had adopted this guy. not the dog, the 38-year-old owner of them. A grown man serving life in prison had been adopted by his lawyers, who were now caring for his dogs. Because they weren't just his lawyers, officials were pretty sure they were in on the business, breeding attack dogs for the Mexican mafia gang. Of course, Robert said, "Our decision was based on Cornfed as a person and our feelings toward him and his feelings toward us. It was not an action taken lightly. See, guys, it was an adoption based on love." This is also the kind of guy who, when the police came to conduct a search on his and Marjorie's home, said, "Just another example of the Gestapo kicking down the door of a Jewish home. My relatives went through that in Germany." Now, I'm not one to side blindly with the police, but sir, they came to search your home because your dog killed a woman. An attorney for Diane's partner said the police were probably looking for anything like vet bills or complaints about the dog that would prove they were known to be aggressive before she was killed. After all, in a local TV interview, Robert had admitted to owning a copy of a manual called Manstopper, Training a Canine Guardian. Police couldn't find that in their search, which isn't necessarily surprising. Robert had said in that same interview that the cops would probably come looking for it, so he might have gotten rid of it. Investigators did, however, find 3 handguns and a shotgun in the apartment. They also went looking at San Francisco General Hospital, where Robert had been treated after a dog bite severed his index finger. He told some people that his dog Bane did it, and other people that another dog did it, so authorities wanted to see what he told the hospital that day. There were definitely conflicting stories of all kinds when it comes to these dogs. One person who had known Bane and Hera before they were taken in by Robert and Marjorie said the dogs were loving and would let children ride them like ponies. Another said they should have been put down for aggression even before they ever moved into Diane's San Francisco building. In March 2001, Robert and Marjorie were arrested at a friend's rural ranch after a high-speed chase by undercover San Francisco police. It's unclear to me if they actually knew they were being followed or just reckless drivers, but it's just another, "of course that happened" thing to add to this case. The couple made several calls from jail to try to get the $3 million in bail they needed, but it never came through. A grand jury had indicted Marjorie on a second-degree murder charge after 2 weeks of testimony. She and Robert were also charged with involuntary manslaughter and failing to control a vicious animal. Marjorie had a panic attack after her time in front of the grand jury and at her arrest due to the stress of it all, but Robert said they would go full scorched earth in their defense and make the prosecution sorry. And it's true that the prosecution had a tough path ahead of them, especially in proving the murder charge, because they would need to show an amount of reckless disregard for Diane's life. Robert had said that Diane's death was her own fault because she had dared to leave her own apartment. He said her perfume had probably upset poor Bane the dog. Robert also claimed that Diane had hit Marjorie in the face out there in the hallway while Marjorie was only trying to protect her from Bane, and Bane therefore had to protect his owner. The thing is that a scared neighbor looked through her peephole and said 2 minutes passed before she heard anyone trying to get Bane off of Diane, so it seems there's a chance that Marjorie hadn't even been there when Bane attacked. What Marjorie told police at the time of the incident is that Diane had tried to move backward into her apartment, but it only made Bane more upset. I would hardly say that Diane was at fault for trying to walk away. Robert also argued that Bane didn't kill the kitten of the woman who was originally caring for him, that in fact, Bane was a gentle beast who befriended that kitten and carried it around in his mouth. Robert and Marjorie also planned to argue that since they didn't own the dogs, only cared for them, they couldn't legally be found guilty of owning an animal that they failed to control. But there were several things that weren't working in Robert and Marjorie's favor. One, the California Department of Corrections had proof that the dogs were being bred specifically to fight. Two, Diane had filed a police report when Bane bit her wrist that first time, and investigators found that another man had moved out of the building when Bane bit him as he exited an elevator in their building. So this dog had a known history. And three, in jailhouse letters from the original owner of the dogs, the convict describes them as vicious to Robert and Marjorie, meaning they knew the dogs needed special handling. But there were no witnesses to the attack, so it was going to be hard to prove what really happened. There were, however, about 40 people, including mailmen and dog walkers, who had shared their accounts of threatening interactions with the dogs. After the attack on Diane, an animal behavior specialist tested the female dog, Hera, to see how she acted around different people. One witness said, "It was scary. You wouldn't want it around your family." Hera was ordered to be destroyed. Robert and Marjorie, her caretakers, were banned by the court from owning a dog for 3 years because it would be a significant risk to the public health, welfare, and safety. The director of San Francisco's Department of Animal Care and Control said, "We're certainly not relishing the idea of killing any animals, and we are not relishing a victory here." At trial for Diane's death, some of Diane's friends and family had to leave the courtroom as photos of her body were shown. A vet who treated Bain and Hara testified that he sent Marjorie a letter in 2000 saying that they would be a liability in any household, and she had thanked him for that information, which also proved that she knew they were dangerous. And a paramedic who was first on the scene said that Marjorie didn't once ask how Diane was doing. The jury also saw Robert's finger injury from where Bain had bitten it off. The defense, in turn, accused Diane's partner of not doing enough to complain if she thought Bain was dangerous, and accused paramedics of wasting time chasing the dogs when they should have been helping Diane. The medical examiner said, "Don't worry, Diane was so incredibly injured that nothing could have helped her." 11 hours into deliberations, the jury had decided Robert Noel and Marjorie Noller were guilty. Robert was given 3 years, but was paroled in 2003 and asked not to go back to San Francisco, likely because he'd gotten too much attention over this case and the 18-page letter he wrote to the San Francisco DA, where he blamed Diane for her own death. He instead lived in Fairfield, southeast of Napa, and allegedly worked as a baker for some time. When he died of heart failure in June 2018, he was living in a nursing home near San Diego. It was his 77th birthday, and no one told Marjorie about his death for 3 months. Marjorie was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison, which she appealed until she couldn't appeal anymore. She's currently 68 years old and is in the Central California Women's Facility. In February of this year, she was denied parole partly due to misbehaving while incarcerated and partly because the panel deciding her fate said she would be a danger to society.
Marjorie Noller showed no emotion as the parole commissioner announced the decision just a short time ago, minutes ago, in fact. She was convicted of second-degree murder and is serving a sentence of 15 years to life. The board says one reason parole was denied was due to disciplinary action against Noller while in prison. She and her late husband, Robert Noel, owned two dogs that attacked and killed the couple's neighbor, Diane Whipple, in January of 2001 outside her apartment. Noel served 4 years for involuntary manslaughter.
The DA's office says she refuses to take responsibility for her part in the dog attack. Diane's former partner, along with members of Diane's family, spoke to the parole panel about why Marjorie should be kept in prison. She'll be eligible for parole again in February 2026. An interesting thing about this case was that right after the initial trial, Diane's partner sued Robert and Marjorie for civil damages. This was at a time when same-sex marriage was still illegal in California, so experts were saying that Diane's partner had no ground to stand on. No one before her had ever done this successfully, but she won. A judge awarded Diane's longtime partner, Sharon Smith, $1.5 million in damages, giving her the seed money to start the Diane Alexis Whipple Women's Lacrosse Scholarship Fund. Today in some states, there's something referred to as the one-bite rule. Basically, the idea that your dog gets a free pass the first time, but the second time, you were aware of their aggression and are now liable for damage. In other states, you're liable for the behavior of your pet from the very beginning, as long as the victim was on public property or legally on private property. So trespassers, beware. I know there will be mixed opinions on this case, since some people are firmly on the side of all dogs being good dogs, while other people have had bad experiences with untrained dogs. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.